Hey everybody, it's Alan Scher. We're back with Flock and Gather. And yes, it's the podcast of the Spa Industry Association. It is September 11 today, so we're having a Remembrance Day, right? Or Patriot Day, amongst everything else. In fact, I did this a little earlier, but I'm going to say it again because it's so important. And my daughter is a nurse, and she's on the COVID unit. So wait, first let me introduce Cherie. My apologies. I always do the guest first. Cherie Tennessee, longtime friend. Yay! Hi, Cherie. I'm so glad we're doing this. She's the owner of Spa SOS, but she does way more than that. We're going to talk a little about it today. And she's also African-American, and we're going to talk about that. Wait, do I say African-American or Black? What's the difference?
African-American is more of a proper term when you're addressing someone. We say Black within the Black community, like an HBCU, which is an historically Black college and university.
Yep.
But outside, it's African-American, and inside, it's Black.
All right, we're going to do it. She's my Black African-American friend, and I have more than one. Okay, we've been doing this dance how long now? I don't know how long I've known you. It's like a dozen years now or something.
Oh, my God. I think I did my first show maybe 2012, IECSC.
Well, I remember you clearly wandering the halls going, where the hell am I supposed to be going?
Well, it's so crazy, Alan, because my son was born November 8th, 2009, and there was an IECSC show that day, and I got up at 6 o'clock that morning, and I'm like, my husband at the time was like, I'm going to drive you to the show, I'll just sit outside and wait for you, because I was like, I'm going to the show, and he came that day, and I was like, Jack, I didn't make it to the show, but I've been going to that show for years and years. I remember probably 2010 or 11, I went with a girlfriend of mine who had a son, and, you know, no kids are allowed on the show floor because they're doing some interesting things.
Right.
You saw that in the Back to Spa in July with the waxing, right? It was an eye-open experience. But I remember we were handing off kids where she was walking the show floor, and then I'd come back and I'd walk the show floor. And then I think about 2012, I was like, you know what? I want to be here. I want to have this conversation about spa and just how to create success, having been a spa owner and having gone through a similar situation in 2008 and 9 with the Great Recession and having to close my doors just due to lack of business. So I have walked the walk that we're going through now. It's September 11th. So, you know, we've been talking about 9/11 and the remembrance and just thinking like between 19 years ago, thinking 2008 with the Great Recession and now 2020 with COVID, it seems about every 5 to 8 years, there's some kind of disruptor that comes in, pauses, makes us reassess, reevaluate, get clever and innovative, and then move forward. So I don't think we've seen the last major event that will impact our industry.
No. And you know, Cherie, when you look back in history, we're not the only generation to go through this. I mean, you can, like you just said, you can go, even if we only go back to 1900 and you look at the Teddy Roosevelt recession, and then you come forward and you look at World War I, and then they had Spanish flu and right up through China flu. I mean, we've covered, there's always something happening. So you have to be really, people are getting tired of hearing me say this. There's no out of the box anymore because there is no box, right? You have to have fluid thinking. Talk to me about that.
Absolutely. It's required and it's a conversation. So when I'm not running Spa SOS and creating content, I'm actually the program director and professor for a University of Maryland Eastern Shore hospitality program. And so my students are getting ready to graduate. I have a couple graduating in December and a lot more graduating in May. And that's been the conversation we've had for 5 weeks is, you know, we had a guest speaker this week who came in who owns Medium Rare. And he said, you know what? You're not going to see brand new family restaurants for 5 years because banks aren't going to fund it. So how else can you be creative? Is that a food truck? Is that, you know, catering? How do you get inventive as far as hotels and being able to provide those services and those amenities? And that's a conversation we're having every single week. You have to think differently. How do you incorporate technology? Because people aren't going to want to hug and have 12 people to greet them like they used to in January, right? I mean, it's only September and the whole mindset has changed. So we have to have this approach of being open and understanding that my students who are in their mid-20s, I said, you know, sometimes people say you're young and they're not going to listen to you. I said, but at the same time, you're probably going to be managing people who are your parents and your grandparents' age, and they feel the same way that they're not going to be listened to. So it has to be this open conversation, bringing different perspective and being open to just doing things differently. You think about, we were just talking about the Great Recession. That was Airbnb, that was your Uber and your Lyft were all a result of that time and having to get creative. And I think we really are going to see something similar coming out of COVID, where you're going to have to approach spa, wellness, beauty in a whole different way. That's probably going to have some lasting effects and ramifications on how we did business and how we will do it moving forward.
Sheree, you've nailed that one. Let me go back to running the hospitality program at the college, because I think that's so what you're describing to me is very good critical thinking. So okay, I got to jump back. In the Phoenix newspaper today, the cartoon in the editorial section shows a guy with the top of his head open, and there's a garbage truck dumping stuff into his head, and on the truck it says social media. And so if you're a good critical thinker, you cannot be wrapped up in social media, right? You have to have a wider view of the world, right?
Absolutely. And you need to be reading and having a pulse, I spy, of what's happening in your industry. So every week I'm like, okay, tell me something about what's happening. We're focusing on trends this year. And what trends do you see coming? What can you jump onto? What can you incorporate into what you want to do? We talk about critical thinking a lot because it's more than just, okay, I did this task, but critical thinking is what's the next logical step and let me start going in that direction. And I have to say, it's a tough skill set. A lot of kids, a lot of students, I'm not going to call them kids, though they could be mine.
I get it.
Though I have a younger one, which is hilarious. my 10-year-old here. But it really is like, start thinking about what's next and how do you get from this point to 2 years from now where you want to be. And we start talking about that the minute they come into the program. So I only have juniors and seniors. It's a 2-year program. So, okay, you're fresh coming in. Where do you want to be in 2022? And a lot of them are just thinking where they want to be by September 30th. And I'm like, nope, you need to kind of broaden that conversation, look at how you can pivot, how you can just change and adapt. And I bring a lot of industry speakers in. Like I said, we had the gentleman from Medium Rare this week. Last week, we had a gentleman from the entrepreneurship program on how to get more creative, how to be thinking in a totally different direction and perspective. And I think that's what critical thinking is going to be. One of my favorite quotes is, the illiterate of the 21st century will not be those who can't read and write, but those who cannot learn, unlearn, and relearn. And
that's awesome. Where did you pick that up?
Oh, it's a quote. I'll have to send you the meme, but I saw it and I loved it. And what I say to my students is, when I was a kid, Pluto was a planet, right? And Pluto was a moon, and it was a subplanet and a super planet. And I think finally it's back to the status of planet. So this industry is ever changing, ever evolving. And that was kind of what we were going to talk about in the terms of diversity, right? Yep. Whereas...
I didn't even get to ask you the question yet, but go ahead anyways.
If you look at our industry, right? So there was an article that came out, I think it was H Careers, had it on LinkedIn, and it was actually from lodging. And then what they were saying was 7% of leadership roles in hospitality and spa and wellness fall under that umbrella. 7% were held by African Americans. And that is really a shameful number, whereas 81% of leadership roles were held by white employees. So there's not even that diversity of, you know, Asian, Latino. It literally is the pie really belongs to the white employees. And what's staggering about that, when you look at the beauty industry in particular, African Americans spend 9 times more than their white counterparts. They spend an average of $1.1 billion annually, but you don't see the representation in a lot of the companies. You don't see it in leadership. You might see it if you go to, let's say, an Ulta or a Sephora, or maybe just your local day spa. There might be diversity in that frontline staff. So maybe the receptionist, maybe the, if you go to, you know, certain neighborhoods, you might find the esthetician or the massage therapist is African-American, but very rarely is it the leadership. So, you know, when I owned my spa in Baltimore, I remember I had a client and the receptionist said, oh, well, she can tell you about the countertop. And the woman was like, why can she tell me? And I was like, because I bought it. I'm the owner. And I had that same kind of experience when I was at Mandarin. I know I don't look like your typical director of spa and wellness for Mandarin Oriental. And I use that to my advantage because I am a massage therapist. I could have a different conversation with the therapist. I worked in a room. You know, I've worked internationally and understand the importance of that diverse clientele coming through the doors. And when you have that client, they want to see people who look like them if they're spending that kind of money there. So it's so important when we talk about pivoting. And there have been some key events this year. If you go back and look at social media on your major spa brands, and you look at November, December, and January, I'm going to say it was whitewash. It got a little diverse for Black History Month. Thank you. But it really changed with George Floyd and just the Black Lives Matter and really bringing that back to the forefront. And I teach for a skincare school out of New York, Christy Velmi, love them. And they have allowed me to have a conversation on diversity and bullying in the workplace, which is our spa industry. But when we talked about diversity, it was a real conversation of authentic diversity. So not it just being in your social media feed, showing that where you never showed it before, but who's in your boardroom? Who's in your leadership? That's what a lot of these people coming out of school are looking for. It's not just what are you blasting out on social media and that dump truck that you referred to earlier, but really what's happening in the boardroom and what's happening as a company.
All right, let me catch our list. Wow, you do that so well. You forgot to breathe though while you were telling me about
that. I was breathing.
All right, let me catch everybody up, okay? So when you say HR career says 7% is African-American, do you think part of this is African-Americans have never been told or we don't speak enough about you should try the spa channel, this is a great place to be?
No, if you look at who's coming into the industry, it is a lot of African-Americans, Asians, and Latino, right? So when you have that entry level, it is very diverse. And they even found this in the Lodging magazine. The entry level is very diverse. What we don't see is the opportunity to move ahead or move up in an organization. And not because we're not aware of it. You know, you're taught like you need to be a leader, you need to be in charge. They make more money, they have more influence. It's just a lack of consideration or opportunity.
Well, I have to tell you, that is well said. And I think right now I'm going to call this, whatever we're in this pandemic, lemons to lemonade. You know, this is a great time for people to, as we talked about our kids, they need to shine, right?
Absolutely.
This is a great time. If I'm an owner and I'm culling the herd and I'm looking for new talent, I better understand who my clientele is, right? Because can you imagine having a spa where it's a majority of Black Americans coming in and then you only have white therapists and white management? Like, it wouldn't make any sense. Oh, wait, remember, I'm not white. I'm Caucasian American. So okay.
But Alan, I have to tell you, that is a lot of locations that we go into right now. So the Global Wellness Institute just did a Q&A with, I just wrote her name now, Dr. Nicole Finley. And that's exactly what she said. Like, when she goes to the spa, she has to bring her own shampoo and conditioner because what they have doesn't work for her hair. And when you think about like hyperpigmentation or special requests that we may have, it's a little different. I know skin is skin and there's only like a 0.0% difference genetically because my background is in biology and I did cancer research and sickle cell studies and all that good fun stuff prior to coming over to the spa world. So it is minute, but there are differences. And if you're not aware of that, I remember years ago, I was a woolly mammoth. I'm just going to say it. I'm in the beauty industry. I was a woolly mammoth and I wanted to get laser hair removal. And I remember going in and the doctor being so very honest, the dermatologist saying like, it's not really going to work for you. It's not really designed for your pigmentation in your skin. So it's not going to remove it, or if it does, it's going to cause problems. So I appreciate his honesty in that conversation. But again, if this population is spending 9 times more than another population, there needs to be more inclusion. There needs to be more representation. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have to tell you. 0.01 skin difference made me think very much of golf. You know, I love to golf, but I'm a terrible golfer. So that's why I don't do it for a living. But I say, oh, you got your club. Look at you, girl. Okay. Next time we're together, we're golfing. Don't forget.
We do cups in the hallway here.
It's mostly about trash talking for me anyway. So it's the only way I get advantage. Okay. In golf, there's a lot that separates professionals from guys like Alan Scher going out on Saturday. But I once heard a professional golfer say, it's millimeters of things that you do in golf that make a huge difference. So even if your skin and my skin are 0.1, that's a lot. It makes
a lot
difference. So if you have an African-American clientele or you want to attract them, you better start putting some products on the wall that make sense. And it's not like they're readily available. They're everywhere. You can purchase them.
There's tons of products, but understanding, like for me, when I go in, my biggest concern is hyperpigmentation, right? So I don't pop a pimple because that means I'm going to have a scar for the rest of my life. And trying to have that conversation with a 10-year-old who doesn't get it. But you know, it is different. And I have to commend organizations like Face and Body, right? So they actually have collaborated with Bonner Brothers, which is the largest African-American hair show in the US. It was the one show I got to do, Alan, and I missed you there in February.
We talked about it. Yep.
Yeah. So they actually have collaborated to be able to touch that demographic and have these spa conversations. It was about Black travel and being able to capture those dollars. So I really commend them. And they were having conversations about hyperpigmentation in 2019. It wasn't just a trend. I have full disclosure, I'm on their advisory board, and I'm not on a whole lot of other magazines advisory boards. And I think it's amazing because I'm not an esthetician. I don't wax woohoos and I don't pop pimples. I am a massage therapist and a nail tech. But to be able to have that conversation, which a lot of other entities are not having, or they're just starting to dip their toe into it.
Two things and we're going to wrap up because I love this, and you and I are going to have to do another one because I wrote about 6 more things down I want to talk about, but we don't have time. My biggest takeaway today, I love that you tell your students, learn, unlearn, learn, repeat. It's huge. It's huge in understanding how to go forward in today's market, right?
Things change on a dime.
Sheree, if our listeners want to reach out to you, talk about some consulting and other things you do, how do they reach you? What's the best way?
I'm on Instagram on a pretty regular basis. So it's the THE spa, SPASOS. Is my handle on Instagram, and it's also for Gmail. If you want to send me an email, it's thespasos@gmail.com are probably the best 2 ways to reach me.
I love that. Easy enough. Sheree, I love you to death. I'm sorry we're not doing this in person, in a spa show, but I have great ignore 2020. It's a wash. I have great hopes for next year, and I can't wait to see you again. Thank you for being
on the floor. Thank you, Alan, for having me. I can't wait to see you on the floor and give you lots of hugs. And thank you just for all of your support and introduction over the years. You have just embraced me and welcomed me with open arms. So I thank you for that.
People can't see it, but I'm blushing, so stop.
It's true.
And people, please remember, be kind to one another. Have a great
day. Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us today for another Flock and Gather podcast episode. Special thanks to our guest, Sheree Tennessee. You can find her at The Spa SOS. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you next time.